Well, either that or I'll do whatever I did at 8 o'clock.
Well, a very warm welcome to St. Margaret's this morning, to those who are listening or watching online. And I'm Reverend Mike Bissett, I'm the vicar here, and Graham will be leading and David preaching. And just to bring up speed, I just heard yesterday that the Jeff Pierce had pacemaker on Friday, and he's waiting for a bed to become available at Amersham Hospital, and they'll move him across there for recuperation, and he's doing all right. And please do pray for those, I just heard this morning, I didn't know this, that we've had a minor outbreak of the virus here, and there's a little group of folk who must have been sitting around a table somewhere chatting during the course of the week. And they've all gone down with the virus. They're all okay, but it just does remind us that this thing is still hanging around, and it's up to you. If you want to wear a mask, then feel free to do that. And if you do, wear your mask with pride, as they say. Let's hand over to Graham now. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the third Sunday before Lent. Let's begin by singing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is number 44, Blessed Assurance.
Thank you.
So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also
with you. Let's sit on you for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace with all. We say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name.
Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And the Collect prayer for today. Almighty God, who alone can bring order to the unruly wills and passions of sinful humanity, give your people grace so to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
If you'd like to sit, Deborah and Ruth have our readings.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In a moment, David will be preaching for us, but before that, we'll sing our second hymn, which is number 197, I Am a New Creation. We'll stand to sing. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 17.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to teach him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil, because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy,
because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my lips and the thoughts in all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Please be seated. It's a complicated world, isn't it? Life today seems to be more and more complicated. We seem sometimes to have made our lives miserable with our technology. We seem to want things more and more buttons to press. How many know all the features of our mobile phone? All that our TV can do? Let's not even talk about our home computer. With all that technology, are we ever any happier with life? I can remember some years ago, someone told me about KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. Perhaps the gospel message today is not only about being happy with life, but how simple life can be. Perhaps it comes to this. If you're not happy, draw closer to God, who is the only source of genuine happiness. If you have a beautiful goldfish and take it out of water so that it can sing us and you can sing a song to it, will it be happy? No. If you put a fish on a couch and turn on the TV, will it be happy? No. But if you put the fish back in the water, it will be happy. It's the same with us. We will be happy only in God. You might say, God is cruel, making you in such a way that you will be happy only with him. But God is not cruel. God is love. Total love. God loves us even if we've not yet discovered his love for us. He says, come closer to me and I will lift you up from despair to hope. When we turn our hearts to Jesus, we don't need all the buttons that there are to push. There's only one. He's up there. There he is ready for us. Dr. Tostengard was professor of homiletics. One day he said, don't get into the way of the gospel. Don't try to get cute. Just tell the story and let the gospel speak for itself. Sometimes, when Sunday scripture texts seem dry and the words won't come, it's tempting to make the gospel say something that isn't there. And I remembered his words this week as I considered the day Jesus came down from the mountain and addressed those who are gathered. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you'll be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, for your reward will be great in heaven. In the Gospel of Matthew, these words are part of the Sermon on the Mount. But in Luke's Gospel, Jesus doesn't deliver this Sermon on the Mountain top. He comes down among the people, the hurting, broken, and rejected people of the day, and tells them there is hope for them. It's called the Sermon on the Plain. And it turns all the injustices of this world upside down. The poor will be rich. The hungry will be fed. The grieving will one day laugh again. But then Jesus turns his intention to the powerful, the popular, the beautiful people of that day, just beyond the crowd of hurting people who had come to be healed by Jesus. There were the social and religious power brokers who'd come to examine Jesus. And Jesus had a message for them too. Woe to you who are rich, because that's as good as it's going to get. Woe to you who are full, for you'll be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you're about to experience pain. Woe to you who are popular, you're just like the false prophets. There was only one sermon that day. There was only one crowd. But there were many, many responses. The poor felt encouraged, but the wealthy felt judged. The poor went away hopeful, but the well-fed went away worried about the future. And it seems to me that every time a preacher steps into a pulpit, there's never just one audience present, or just one sermon preached. And we leave this place today, every one of us will have heard a different sermon. Tostengard said that we are responsible for what we say, but we're not responsible for what people hear. Perhaps Jesus knew that, and that's why his teaching was always so provocative. But I'm wondering what kind of sermon we need today. Do we need a blessing, or do we need a woe? Do I need a pat on the back, or do I need a kick in the butt? What would Jesus want us to take from this plain sermon of so long ago? Whether our lives are fractured or whole, whether we're filled with delight or filled with despair, I believe that Jesus would have one message with four parts for all of us. The first message has to do with wealth. We live in one of the wealthiest counties, in one of the wealthiest countries in the world. By the world standards, we are rich, yet many of us struggle to pay for our living. There's often a wide gap between our needs and our wants, and it fills us all with sorts of frustration, confusion, and often anxiety. The Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard once wrote, "I walked into a spectacular cathedral surrounded by stained glass windows. I watched as the preacher dressed in silk robes opened a Bible with gold edges and read these words, 'If anyone wants to be my disciple, Let them sell their possessions, give away their money, and come and follow me. And Kierkegaard said, I looked round and no one else was laughing. We seek financial security, as if it can really make us secure. And Jesus says, it can't, but I can. The second message of this test is to do with hunger. We're supposed to eat to live, but we live to eat. And very few of us know what hunger feels like. Food can be a blessing or a woe. And there are lots of different ways to be hungry. And then there's the issue of laughing and weeping. I went to a wedding last month, and the people in the wedding were so happy, they cried. Sometimes the most heartbroken people walk around with smiles on their faces. They don't want people to know their pain. How are you today? Oh, I'm fine. But they're not fine. Others have wonderful lives, happy marriages, healthy children, and beautiful homes. But they walk around with glum faces. Are you sad? No, just Norwegian. Emotions can be a blessing or a woe, but we're seldom honest about how we're feeling. Finally, there's the issue of being accepted or persecuted for what we believe. Some people in third world countries are persecuted for their faith in Christ. Muslims in France will soon be forbidden, if they're not forbidden already, to wear religious garments in public. Jews in Nazi Germany were marked with patches and systematically executed because they were Jews. But in this country, where we boast of our religious freedom, we mostly try to keep our religion to ourselves. We wouldn't want to offend anyone. Religion is a private matter, we say, and so we shut up. Religious convictions can be a blessing or a woe. I don't know if all of this is what Jesus had in mind when he delivered the Sermon on the Plain 2,000 years ago. What we do know is that he has come to this place to enter the lives of the humble and of the proud, to touch the lives of the weeping and the laughing. He's come to bring us a simple message. I believe this is what it is. We are blessed because the Saviour loves us. And if that's all we hear today, it will be enough. Amen.
Sit or kneel for our intercessions.
Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful, crisp winter days we've enjoyed this week. The sun low in the sky, lighting up your creation with a unique brightness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And thank you for reawakening nature after a long winter, swelling and budding, forcing upwards from the cold earth towards the warm and life-giving light. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for St. Margaret's, our beautiful church, and for those who overcame such hardship to build it. What a gift they gave us through their unshakable faith and determination. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for enabling us to come here to worship and enjoy the company of fellow Christians. And thank you for hearing our prayers when we are in here alone, sometimes in darkness, sometimes with light streaming through the colours of our beautiful glass. Lord, in your mercy, thank you, Lord, for the gift of love, the love of our community, our friends, and our families. In this church, we feel the love, your love, and the love of our Christian friends. As Paul said, without love, we are hollow and diminished. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us in silence think of and pray for those on our notice sheet who are going through difficult times, and also those known to us who are suffering. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? So before God and each other, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Christ has gone to prepare a place for you, that you may be able to abide with him in his peace. And so may the peace of the Lord be always with you. So as best you can, we share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're standing, we'll sing our next hymn, which is number 54. Brother, sister, let me serve you.
Thank you.
This morning we'll use Eucharistic Prayer 2, which is on page 7. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Sit or kneel for our prayer. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. And on page 17, as Jesus himself taught us, so we are bold to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Top of page 18, we say together the prayer after communion. We say, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free. On the whole earth, live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. If we stand, we'll sing our final hymn, which is hymn number 238, In Heavenly Love Abiding. So our blessing. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and those you serve, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for everything that was said and done. We just pray that all of that would have been for your glory only. So we ask this in Jesus' name.